Hi guys, and welcome back to the Building Financial Fitness podcast. Today we have in the house Chris Howe, who is actually one of the notable people on the Seedly Personal Finance Forum. But actually today I wanted to talk about effective ways to take a career break, and that's why I wanted to have you on. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, Janice. Thanks for having me.
Welcome, Chris Howe. There's been a few Chrises who've been on this show. So, you know, when we think about career breaks, and I think that's something that people are thinking about either voluntarily or involuntarily, especially in this time of the market where layoffs have happened a lot in 2023 and they continue to follow on 2024. So there are people who are taking career breaks. There are also people who take voluntary career breaks. And I wanted to, you know, talk through what are the effective ways to actually take one, because it is actually a period of time where one is effectively not generating income, but there are so many other ways to maximize our time, right? And I want to talk about, you know, what are your recommendations on how to best manage it and any KPIs that you set for yourself. But before I go into that, maybe for the benefit of people who might not know about what you do, can you just give us an introduction?
Cool. So, hi everyone. My name is Chris. I'm a digital marketer for like the past 15 years helping businesses grow and scale. But now I'm taking a career break, hopefully on a journey to rediscover what I want to do with the rest of my life. And I've been on a career break for, this is probably my third month on it. So, hopefully I can share some of those experiences that might be useful to everyone.
Cool. So what are your recommendations on how best to manage the career break?
I guess the first thing that we probably can't ignore is anxiety about money. In my first month, actually the first 2 weeks, although I know that I left my job by choice and I have enough money to get by, it's inevitable that I would get anxious about, like, with no income, And all this money going out, do I have enough money to get by? Do I need to cut certain budgets here and there? So anxiety about money, whether you choose to take a career break voluntarily or involuntarily, it's going to happen. So I think that's probably the first thing that one would have to tackle.
So I remember we talked about this because you actually did put out the budget and that forward forecast, right?
Yeah.
And did that actually help reduce your anxiety now that you're 3 months in?
I'm probably oddball because I've been tracking my personal finance for close to 10 years or more. So I have the data to tell me that I have enough cash flow to get by for, let's say, 12 months. And therefore, I'm choosing to take a career break. It's very easy to say it on paper, but when you actually take the career break and you're on a career break, I think the anxiety still happens. And it may not be so much of the dollars and cents, but more of the mental side of things to tell yourself that, yes, I allow myself to spend this money because one is budgeted for, I'm not overspending, and two, I just need to be comfortable with the fact that I'm not getting an income coming in and there's cash outflow going out. And that's that.
How do you look to try to curb that? Because you have that certainty for the next 12 months that you have that budget to work with, and sometimes you could even be spending less than what you budgeted for. But you're absolutely right in the sense of, you know, there could be the anxiety of like not earning money. And I remember in my early 20s, sometimes when I thought my job was difficult, every time I'll just go out there, look at UOB Plaza, and it's like, no worries, today I'm earning like X dollars. You know, like, look at it every day. So I can just imagine, like, not being able to do that actually creates anxiety for people. And it can be severe for some people, right? I think we've heard of sometimes breadwinners who actually kill themselves because they know that they're not able to provide. Sometimes it's actually enough, but it's just an overwhelming anxiety that sets in.
So I don't think there will be a straight answer to this, but it may differ for individuals. So you know me, I'm an Excel person, right? So I have my spreadsheets out. I could track my expenses and I can tell myself that within the first 2 weeks that, hey, I'm not overspending, it's within my budget and I've got enough finances to get by. So it's just repeating this over and over again to myself so that I remember that, so that I make peace with what I'm spending on. So that works for me. It may not work for everyone. So it really depends.
And then going back to finances, when you plan that 12 month for yourself, what were the key buckets that you maybe took out? Or were there additional buckets that you actually put in more money into?
I would think that the benefit of taking a proactive stance in budgeting and tracking your finances over the past few years allowed me to know how much am I actually spending on needs. Needs being like my mobile subscription, my internet subscription, insurance premiums. Those are stuff that I can't let go. But I do know how much exactly do I need to buffer for those. And they don't really increase unless the government increased the GST, right? But that's predictable. So I could easily put that sum away. And then what is really important is just managing the wants. Like maybe I can't spend on a fancy budget, like no drones, no this, no that. That's going to cost like a few thousand dollars, one off. But other than that, I think it's just planning a number and just sticking to the number based on past statistics.
Yeah, I think when I spoke to some peers as well who have taken career breaks, some of them actually have taken like 2 years, and they actually noticed an interesting aspect because, and they often were on pretty high stress jobs before. They realize that when they were on a career break and that stress was now gone, that they're able to have a pretty like peaceful kind of existence, they realize actually they didn't feel the need to spend on the things that they used to splurge on. Like some last night it could be expensive meals. I feel that I need to go and eat, you know, omakase once a month because I work so hard and I need to reward myself. But then they were like, you know, ever since I started doing this, I don't feel the need to do that anymore. They don't even feel the need to, let's say, make certain luxury purchases because they are not in certain social groups and there's no need to show off. So I thought that was actually a nice, interesting and refreshing take on. Not only you can save my youth, you actually feel that a lot of the previous expenses were not necessary.
Yeah, that's true. I think a good example probably would be on my 9 to 5, right? If I'm running late, I'm probably going to spend a lot more on like Grab rides to get to the office. When I'm finishing work and my colleagues are working late, we might go out for dinners that's probably a bit more expensive than the usual just to reward ourselves for working late, right? And other social obligations at work that we wouldn't have when we're on a career break. I think there's probably two aspects to think about it. One is, yay, I'm not spending this money on things that I actually don't need. And two is probably emotionally we're happy that we're not feeling obligated to spend time with people we actually don't care about enough that we're going to spend time with them and do all that other stuff, which is, like, you're not part of the job.
Yeah. How about productivity? How do you aim to still get the same level of productivity? Because when there's a career break and as somebody is shifting from like a kind of like a full on, not even a work from home kind of setting to entirely having your own schedule determined by yourself, that also takes a shift. So how have you actually managed that?
So I guess for Singaporeans, productivity is something that's important to us, even to the government in the recent budget. But clearly, I guess how I would like to think of it myself is mostly on how do I create a routine for myself, a routine for my lifestyle that doesn't revolve around work. Because if you think about it, when I'm at work, 9 to 5 is dedicated to me being in the office, for example. So those hours are done and I don't actually have to think about it. I just got to be in the office, got to follow the calendar, go for meetings, get some work done and I'm done. But now I take the job away from you. You have the full 24 hours a day to plan for. And the realistic thing is, how do you create a routine that ensures that you're still productive, doing things that you like, with this extra hours that's there?
So do you feel that that is sort of like cultivating an entrepreneurial mindset? Because then you're actually thinking about all aspects by yourself.
So if we think of it from the entrepreneur side of things, right? Realistically, what we want to do is we want more time, spend it on more productive things. And on a career break, it's the same thing. Now, you're not getting money, but in exchange, you're getting more time back.
Yes.
How do you make better use of this time? Is something I'm still making sense of and slowly changing. But maybe a quick tip that I could give is one of the techniques that I use to try to be more productive is one of the methods that's being taught that I saw on YouTube, time boxing. So basically what I do is, outside of a job, my calendar is blank. So if you look at a blank calendar, you don't know what to do for the day.
Yeah.
So I just create like pockets of time, like half an hour to say wake up, breakfast, half an hour go for a morning walk, or like in the afternoon maybe an hour or two, go for a swim. So having this in a calendar helps me better manage my time and allocate it to more meaningful things that I feel is productive for me. So that's one way that I started using. And those time boxes are useful because it's also one way to have regular sleeping hours, because it's a very slippery slope when you're not working, right? You know that you don't have to wake up early to go to work tomorrow. Why not play games or watch another K-drama for 2 a.m. or 3 a.m., right? So time boxing allows me to just have a proper routine so that I sleep on time, wake up on time, and don't lose that.
Got it. And I think that you also talked about, you know, what are your lifestyle changes, right? Because you mentioned that now that your day is like fully up to you, you're able to time box and you're able to go for a walk whenever you want to. You can go for a midday swim, which is maybe what some people might love to do, but then honestly, the jobs don't allow for that, right? I think I'm not sure how many companies where you're like, hey, you know, I'm just going to disappear for 1 hour for a swim at 3 p.m. I'm not sure how practical that is. So I think it's also kind of like, it's a nice trade-off, right? Just being able to do that.
Yeah.
While still being sometimes even like equally productive.
So I would think that the biggest thing for me right now on a career break is actually the ability to say yes to things that are interesting and meaningful that probably in the past you may not be able to do. So for example, if my friend asked me to go out for dinner or quick lunch or high tea, work may get into the way where I've got a meeting, I've got a call at this time, I can't do it. Now I get to say yes to meaningful activities like this, where I get to strengthen or build better relationship with friends. I get to say yes to like ad hoc stuff. Like recently a friend invited me to go for a kayaking course that his friends has put together. And I was able to say yes to it because it's happening on a weekday, which if I were working, I'll probably say no to. But then this, I could say yes and go on a 2-day course with them. So those are stuff that I thought is meaningful and interesting. And being on a career break allows me to say yes to this kind of stuff. And at the same time, I could say no to things that aren't as interesting and what we usually would do for just because we want to earn that money, right? So with that out of the way, I've got more time to just focus.
So what are your plans for like the next 9 months?
So the plan is to go on a 1-year career break. The caveat is unless an interesting opportunity comes along that I choose to go back into employment or entrepreneurship. But otherwise, I guess right now is just finding out what exactly do I want to do in sense of work or career. And kind of rediscover the purpose. It may sound a little bit ooh, but realistically, I think we all want to get into a career that we find fulfillment with. And not everyone gets the opportunity to do it. So I'm thankful that I get the opportunity, but now it's really just to find ways to get it. And 2, probably just to explore more stuff and try new things. For example, I'm also planning to maybe go on a trip in China for a month, which probably wouldn't happen if I'm working.
Yes.
So those are experiences that probably I want to try out and see what happens.
I'm excited for you. You know, when we look back on our lives, you know, there are certain periods of our lives where we remember like right down to the details, and there are certain years that just really pass by. So I think that, you know, I guess, you know, when you look back and you look back on this 12 months, right, you would have wanted to maximize this 12 months as much as you can. And I think that, you know, what you've done is actually a good system as to how to do that.
Definitely. And ideally, what would be great is in this year, I would be able to look back and say I've been more intentional and have been doing things that I like. At the same time, hopefully my friends, my family, the community that I'm in would also benefit from the time that I'm putting to do stuff with them. So hopefully that also amplifies the kind of benefits that's not just myself.
Got it. And for listeners who want to find out more about you, where can they find you?
I guess they could probably contact me through my website, retirebyfifty.me, where I write about personal finance, personal development, and right now I'm also writing about my journey to try to live a more purposeful life.
Cool. So for people who, you know, want to contact you or who are like-minded or are in the same stage of the journey or are looking to look for a career break, you can always follow Chris on retirebyfifty.me. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thanks, Janice.
Thank you. Many thanks as well to all of you out there for tuning in. This has been a fantastic conversation and we would definitely love to hear what you think about it. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can reach out to us through the email podcasts@melisten.sg or at my Instagram @misfitfi. Aside from that, if you enjoy what you're listening to and want to hear more, please help to spread and grow the show by subscribing on MeListen or Apple Podcasts or by following on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Finally, the Building Financial Fitness podcast is an original production from MediaCorp and recorded at Scape Live Studios, The Pod, powered by Audio Technica and City Music. Episode production is done by Junas Yu, with editing and support by Danny Cordy and Gareth Fernandez. Once again, I'm your host and BFF, Junas Yu. Until the next time.